Last week, we heard about the women who fled in terror from the empty tomb, leaving behind a strange man dressed in white. They have a promise from him, namely that Jesus will see his disciples in Galilee, but they can't process that. They run in fear, and as Mark tells us, they said nothing to anyone. But today, we have a different kind of fear response. John's Gospel tells us, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. The disciples have found a safe house in or around Jerusalem, and they've barricaded themselves there. No movement on their part, certainly not towards Galilee. According to John's account, only Mary Magdalene has yet seen the risen Christ. Peter and the beloved disciple, who has no name in John, he's just referred to as the beloved disciple, have only seen an empty tomb. There's no body, two words, no body, no Jesus. Even though we're told that the beloved disciple believed, it doesn't seem to be a strong faith. He's there with the rest of them, behind locked doors. Certainly they fear the religious authorities who handed Jesus over to the secular power to be crucified. That's probably what John is talking about when he says that they were there because of fear of the Jews. But there is another Jew they might be afraid of, and that Jew is Jesus. Jesus was abandoned in the garden. Peter had an abortive attempt at starting a rebellion by cutting off the ear of the high priest's slave, but that was put to an end quickly by Jesus. Put your sword back in its sheath, Jesus told him. Am I not to drink the cup my father gave me? Peter and the beloved disciple follow Jesus, but Peter denies being a disciple three times. The beloved disciple goes all the way to the foot of the cross with Jesus' mother, but after Jesus entrusts them to each other's care, they apparently also leave. The text says, from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. And at the moment of death, Jesus is alone, except for the criminals beside him. He has been betrayed not only by his disciples, but by the powers that be, and by extension, by all of humanity. The disciples know this. They have been broken through their fear, their guilt, and their shame. But something remarkable happens. No locked door is a match for the risen Jesus. He doesn't seem to follow the rules of physics as we know them. Jesus appears to them. Now, in their fear, they might expect Jesus to rightly accuse them of having abandoned and betrayed him. Instead, Jesus says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." After the horrors of the previous day, what a thing to hear. Peace be with you. Not, you guys screwed me over, which he could have said. Not, you're all fired from being disciples. Oh, and enjoy hell. He doesn't say that. Jesus gives them his peace, his shalom. Jesus extends to them a renewed wholeness and well-being that they can't have on their own. To disciples broken by fear, Jesus breaks through their fear to give them forgiveness, wholeness, new life. But Jesus does more than that. And what happens next is at odds with what our culture would think is appropriate, especially post-COVID. Jesus breathes on them. You notice how we still share the peace mostly by this? I mean, even COVID has really taken a toll on even physical touch. You know, it's something now we've kind of gotten used to. We're more comfortable with that. Jesus breathes on them. There's no sanitation protocols here. His own breath, the Holy Spirit, rests upon them and gives them the same awesome power to do for others what he has done for them. Being forgiven, Jesus gives them the power to forgive others, to loose their chains, to give others the same peace and wholeness that Jesus gave them. But that promise and power wasn't just for them. They extended to Thomas, not present that day. They extended to the nascent church, the persecuted church, the established church, the Reformation, all the way to us modern day disciples. And what a powerful promise for us today, because we all have firsthand knowledge of being behind locked doors out of fear. And not just because of COVID. There's a lot of fear of neighbor today, more than I personally have ever seen. Some of you may have seen something similar in the 60s and the 70s with Watergate and Vietnam and the upheaval that that all caused. But I'm not that old, so this is the most fear I've ever seen in the culture. People are isolated. People are lonely. There's a lot of fear of the upcoming election. There are warnings of cataclysmic consequences if one or the other candidate loses. Gun sales have trended down somewhat since 2020, but they're still higher than in any year prior to 2020. Even reality itself is siloed based on our preferred sources of information. People are armed, people are scared. People are living in differing realities. And behind all of that is the sin of unbelief. Unbelief, like Thomas and the disciples, and the power of the gospel to bring forgiveness, to bring reconciliation, to bring justice, and to make us whole again. But Jesus breaks through our fear. Jesus breaks through our unbelief. The locked doors of our hearts are no match for Jesus. He appears, but instead of condemning us as we might deserve, he gives us his peace. As he invited Thomas to touch him, to put his finger in his ruined hands and his hand in his side, he also invites us in communion to touch him, to receive him. In communion, we touch Jesus. We receive Jesus, his true body and blood, given and shed for the life of the world. And when we receive him, we receive the forgiveness that his shalom gives us. When we receive Jesus, we receive his shalom, his forgiveness. But more than that, Jesus breathes his spirit on us even today. The same spirit of shalom, forgiveness, and new life that fell on the disciples also falls on us. This isn't the action of an absentee Messiah, a merely spiritual Messiah who will take care of me after I die. This is the action of a Messiah who equips us for life now and throughout eternity. This is the action of a Messiah deeply concerned with our physical well-being as well as our spiritual well-being. And it's the action of a Messiah who wills our communal well-being, our wholeness, to bring wholeness, reconciliation out of brokenness. Because guess what? You and I have received God's forgiveness. And we're given that same awesome power to forgive others, to break through doors of fear, to bring shalom. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, though we may feel broken at times by our fears and doubts, you have broken through them to give us your shalom. Through your Holy Spirit, help us to receive that peace and wholeness, not just as a gift for ourselves, but for our neighbors as well. Amen.